Well, let me quickly introduce myself again. Derek from ICC Solutions. From the panel session earlier, most of you would probably figure out that I come from Scotland. There's a fairly important sporting event taking place at an exclusive hotel at Glen Eagles. And for those of you who haven't checked yet, the US aren't doing too well. But it's only 5-3, it's okay, it's not a disaster yet. The agenda, okay, I'll go through a quick introduction, then we're going to look at the certification test requirements for each of the payment brands. What we're going to be focusing on here is the terminal integration testing, when is that actually needing to be performed, and a quick look at some of the high-level process steps. We'll then look at the actual certification process in a bit more detail. We'll look at what's out there already today from the brands, the toolkits, and also the different test phases, which have been touched upon by some of my peers earlier. I'm not really going to do a qualified test tool walkthrough, but I will talk about some of the test tools that are already qualified and exist today. And then I'll talk about some of the best practices that when you're selecting a test tool, what really you should be looking for to make sure you get the best efficiency. I'll then touch upon an EMVCO initiative. I need to be careful how I say this. TITF, an EMVCO initiative, which is a task force, a terminal integration task force, that has been set up to look at the current process and see if there's any way we can further improve it, fine-tune it to be even better than it is today. Finally, the last two or three slides that I'm going to look at is something that I'm calling here an innovative new approach to looking at the certification process. The certification process as it exists today is very much open loop, and there's a lot of interaction with different bodies. What we're proposing, and it's already in existence with one of the big acquirers in the US today, is a closed loop system. So I'll make that more clear hopefully when I get to that stage. There is an appendix at the end, but it's only for reference. I'm not going to be speaking about it today, but this is more detail, which principally comes from the white paper that has been mentioned several times already, but it's a very good document for giving a very broad outline of the different brand test processes. Right, the introduction. So all the brands, they have two main sets of testing that they look for. First of all, they do the acquirer host certification. But the good news is this is already done. This was the April 2013 mandate. So all the acquirers, fortunately, have met that deadline. So this is the looking at the host message from the acquirer up to the payment brands. So that part there, that's already been checked and they're all good to go. The next part is the EMV terminal integration step. And these processes are really to maintain the integrity of the payment brand infrastructure. These processes and requirements are global. They've been around for a long, long time. And one of the main reasons, I think it was one of my colleagues, Ellen, one of his pet hates is interoperability issues. One of the main reasons for the terminal integration process is to check that known interoperability issues are the terminal being certified is able to handle that correctly. These processes follow EMV requirements, the industry standard, and also each payment brand specification. But they're also, what this point's meant to make clear, we're not just looking at the terminal. So although it's called terminal integration testing, it's actually looking at the process from the card through the terminal, through the acquirer, or through some middleware before that, to the acquirer, and then on to the brand. So it is true end-to-end testing, but within the industry, it's called terminal integration testing. The last point there, by benefiting from the global knowledge and experience, the brands have developed and improved these testing processes. So whilst the brands, they started off these processes, 15 years or so ago, the plans do, they're improved over the years. MasterCard went from TIP to MTIP to improve their process. They're constantly being evaluated and improved to make sure that we're minimising the risk of any deployment issues in production. So that's the whole point of the terminal integration testing. Okay, a quick look at the brand outline. So what is terminal integration? This whole section is going to outline the process for completing the required terminal testing for the different payment brands. When we're speaking about a terminal, what we're talking about, that can be an ATM, it can be an attended POS, an unattended POS, and it can be also onboard terminals in planes or whatever. So that terminology, when we're speaking about terminal, it can mean any of those devices. The responsibility for testing the terminal is the acquirer. The acquirer has that end responsibility for ensuring that terminal integration is successful and certified. As I mentioned a minute or so ago, the terminal testing doesn't solely focus on the terminal. It examines everything that sits between the card and the payment brand. So I've actually got an illustration on the next slide, which goes into a little bit more detail on that. So we're looking at, I'll try and see if the pointer's working. No, not really. But we're going from the card through the merchant terminal, through the acquirer, and into the brand. So that's the area where the terminal integration testing is focusing on. I've now got a couple of slides to explain when testing is required. So essentially, whenever there's a new terminal, hardware or software, or a change to the terminal, hardware or software, that's then when you're going to have to be looking at a new level 3, as we alluded to earlier, level 3 or terminal integration set of tests. Before you get to that stage, you've got to ensure the terminal already has EMVCo level 1 and level 2 type approval. The payment brands, they have guidance and documentation, as well as through EMVCo, defining what types of changes require you to run a new set of certification tests. For example, if you change the interface that your terminal communicates via to your middleware or direct to the acquirer, that would require you to do another set of terminal integration tests. If you changed a particular feature or functionality, for example, cashback, if you decided you want to offer cashback at your point of sale, that would also require you to run through another set of terminal integration tests. But as I said, the brands have lots of documentation which give you guidance on what does require and what doesn't require that type of certification. And even in the white paper, there are many examples that are given which give you further guidance on, if I did this, would that, and if I didn't do that, what would happen. It's not just the hardware and the software. Because we are testing all the way from the card, through the terminal, through the gate, merchant potential gateway, up to the acquirer, as we can see in the slide, there's a myriad of different options here. So if the transaction has a different route that it can go down, each of those routes are required to be certified. So you have to be careful. If you change anything in any of those paths, then you do need to run through another certification with the brands. Okay, terminal integration testing. It's ensuring the terminal properly integrates into the EMV environment. There's detailed process guidelines published by the payment brands already. Test plans for each payment brand outline the test case coverage. So these documents are, on occasion, they're supplied. Some brands supply those with the test tool and some others, but most of the test tools have those already embodied into the tool, so you don't actually need access to the test plan. They're already accessible within the test tool itself. So the test plans updated take account of new conditions that require to be checked or verified, and also where there are test cases which perhaps are no longer causing any problems, then these can be obsoleted and these can be removed from the test plan. So the test plans are living documents, and from a test tool supplier's perspective, we need to be on the ball updating these our test tools every time the brands deem it necessary to change something. These tools that we'll hear a bit more about in a minute, they've been developed and enhanced over the years, and now the majority of them, they do feature extensive automation to give you the best efficiency. Almost everything now within the test scenarios are automated, and you'll see that a little later on. And it means that you don't need to be an EMV expert when you're running these tests, because really the tools do everything for you. There are lists of qualified test tools, so the brands, through different means, and we'll see in the next slide or the next one but one, the brands do publish lists of qualified tools. The testing is performed once on any unique combination of an EMV level 2 kernel, payment application, and transaction path. So as I mentioned earlier, the appendix has further details. I'm not going to speak any more on the detail, but the brands do have slightly different processes that you must go through to gain the accreditation, but the detail is provided, further details provided in the appendix. Okay, typical process steps. Well, the first thing that you must do is capture and validate the requirements. Now again, the brands do have different ways of doing this. All the test tools being universal tools that can be used in any country for any type of terminal, they have to be able to cater for any type of terminal that they are being asked to test. So the first thing you've got to do, you must capture the requirements and then validate those requirements. With some of the tools, this is done, or with some of the brands rather, this is done using Excel, fairly simple Excel spreadsheets, where you answer questions, and by answering those questions, resulting set of tests are presented to you. Others tend to use perhaps just the ICS categories for doing this, and you can just do those more manually in the actual tool itself. Once you've got this list of that's you actually now generated the list of tests. So most of the tools now, you're able to import those test lists, and the software will generate that for you. The next stage is you've got to prepare for accreditation. So again, one of my several of my peers earlier were talking about the iterative process or processes that you must go through before you actually perform the certification and before you apply to do a certification. So the same test tools that you use for accreditation and certification, you can use these self-same tools for the actual preparation phase, when you're checking when you're developing the application and you're checking all the functionality, you can use the exact same test tool. Then when you're ready to actually perform the accreditation, you do that with the tool and you send the results up to the acquirer, and then the acquirer seeks the formal accreditation from each of the payment brands. So that's the process as it exists today. Just from a reference point of view, and this the documentation will be available on the EMF website, So this page here just gives you a list per brand and per organisation, either EMF or EMVCO, where you can get access to these the documentation. Right, the certification process. Now you see here we have two different diagrams. The top diagram is looking at the host message certification, which the acquirer gives to the merchant or gives to the ISV, and what we're essentially checking here is that the merchant or the ISV codes that specification to correctly and populates all the fields. So the top line here, where the merchant submits a certification request, they'll assign resource, the merchant codes to that spec from one of the acquirers, they then run transactions, the acquirer analyzes the results, and when the acquirer is happy with all the results, then they happily certify that merchant. So this is not a process that you should underestimate. This is something that really should be done before you do the terminal certification. So the acquirer has already certified from the endpoint of their network into the payment brands. What they are now looking for is, from a merchant perspective or an ISV, that input into the acquirer system, that needs to be validated and certified. So that's really what the top part's doing. When that's all sorted, then you go through to the EMV terminal certification or the terminal integration certification. And what we'll see here is, potentially you have a number of different paths, transaction paths, that you will require you to certify. If we start with Terminal A, going through the merchant system up to VAR1, then on to the acquirer host, and then on to each of the payment brands, their own individual simulators for Visa, MasterCard, Discover and Amex, that would be considered one set of certification tests. If you then ran that terminal through a different VAR, that would be another transaction path that you have to certify and get accreditation from MasterCard, Visa and Discover and Amex. Similarly with a different terminal. So as you can see, there's four different paths there that you have to certify if you have a number of different terminals and a number of different service providers that you want to go through and work with. Now, I will point out just at the end that and this is an important point, as we exist today, there are four different simulators that you must access when you're running these certification tests. All right, well, what do we actually call these toolkits? So for American Express, it's called AEIPS, the American Express ICC Payment Specification. From a contactless perspective, it's ExpressPay. For Discover, they have the DPAS Acquirer End-to-End Test Plan. For MasterCard, they use, the current system is called MTIP, and for contactless, it's called PayPass MTIP. For Visa, they've got three different processes. They've got one for contact, so the Acquirer Device Validation Toolkit, ADVT, is what the merchant and acquirer must go through for contact Visa certification. In the contactless world, they've actually got two. They've got one called CDET, Contactless Device Evaluation Toolkit, and another one, QVSDC Device Module. The difference between those two is the first one is where the contactless interface is integrated within the terminal, and the second one, the QVSDC Device Module, is where the contactless reader, is separate from the terminal. The last point at the bottom of the page, the number of tests to be performed is entirely dependent on the terminal type, whether it's an ATM, POS, and also the feature supported, like the card authentication method, whether it's SDA, DDA. So depending on all these different features, and this is where that all these points are determined when you're doing the requirements capture phase. So that's when all of this gets captured. But just bear in mind, when you use for different devices and different features, there will be a different set and a different number of tests that you need to run. It's not a one set fits all for all terminals. Okay, the two different test phases, as we saw in the, if you cast your mind back to the two diagrams. So the top one is looking at the acquirer host message testing. So this is the merchant or the ISV or the VAR coding to the particular acquirer message specification. And another point to note, it's not unusual for an acquirer to have multiple message specifications. So the merchant ISV VAR has to, if they want to work with that acquirer for all the different message specs, then they have to do it for each one of the message specs. From our experience working with several acquirers, it's not unusual for that to total up to between 200 and 300 tests to be performed in order for you to gain that certification. Once that's complete, the acquirer host message certification is scheduled with the acquirer, and then after that, that's when you go to the terminal integration phase with the acquirer. That phase must be coordinated with the payment brands, so the acquirer coordinates the terminal integration with the payment brands, so the acquirer has to go to each of the different brands and schedule the certifications. The test case lists to be performed by the merchant or the ISV or the VAR, that is supplied by the acquirer. The people who actually run the transactions are the ones that the merchant or the ISV or the VAR, those personnel are actually the ones who run the transactions, and they send the results up to the acquirer for submission to payment brands for accreditation. So that's a very high level look at the two test phases, but I will point out again, don't underestimate the amount of effort that you will go through to code to an acquirer's message spec. All right, the qualified test tool walkthrough. These images here are all the companies that offer test tools which are qualified by one or more of the brands. I think what I would say to everyone is when you're looking at a test tool and you're looking at which brands you want to be certified with, it makes sense to look for a tool that gives you the broadest coverage for that. And if you look at the payment brand certification lists, they give you that. Another point you might want to look at, some of the test tools offer additional features that give you additional benefits beyond just looking at certification. For example, if you wanted to have an ability to create test cards for your different departments, for QA or for any other division within your organization, just looking for different benefits, you know, look at what the tools can offer you, and you know, that will give you a broader coverage of the efficiencies that you can actually get. So what are those best practices to ensure the greatest efficiency? Well, in our view, you really must be looking for a tool that has easy to follow installation and operation guide. You don't want to be confronted by some mega computer that you need to ask Spock how to use to run it. You don't want that. You want something that's easy to use and easy to install. Ideally, you want a tool that when you have these generated set of test cases, all you do is you just import them into the tool, and the tool automatically generates the set of tests that you need to perform. Ideally, you will have operator instructions on the screen, so again, you don't need to refer to the test plans. You don't always get access to the test plans, so it's much better to have all the information presented on the screen. For example, Joe mentioned earlier, you know, it's important. Some of the brands require you to put in specific transaction amounts and PIN numbers. So all of that information is presented on the screen. Once you've performed the tests, having the results or the test logs to be automatically checked against pass-fail criteria. This is something relatively new in the last 2 or 3 years, where this feature is now pretty much in all of the tools. We don't have to go back too long where the poor certification analysts had to manually check through logs to find different tags and different pass-fail criteria and then manually fill in the test result sheets. So the good news for the US, they're all fairly well automated now for that as well. You also must have the ability to create the logs in the format required for accreditation, because unfortunately at the moment they're not all the same, they're different for the brands. Another feature, having the ability to import host logs at the end of your test campaign. This is another feature that, again, you don't need to manually look at the log. And these are, again, automatically verified against pass-fail criteria. Once you've finished all the testing, another great feature that the tools offer is you're actually able to export the results in the format required for submission direct to the brands. So again, the formats are different at the moment, but the tools allow you to send those different formats to the brands. One piece of advice just at the end here: if you're able to standardize on a common terminal configuration and transaction path, that will enable multiple or deployment in multiple locations without needing to recertify each time. And this isn't just a standalone terminal. This can also be the case for semi-integrated installations. As long as you're not touching your payment environment as completely separate from your POS system, you can actually purchase from ISVs. Merchants can purchase from ISVs, or ISVs can sell to merchants semi-integrated solutions that the merchant doesn't then need to go and certify themselves. Right, the new approach that I was mentioning right at the very beginning, what this does do is it puts the merchant ISV VAR in control of the certification process. It takes away the requirement for all the interaction between the merchant with the acquirer and then with the acquirer with the payment brand. So this process really puts the merchant and the ISV in control. It's a self-certification program, and it's addressing some of the inefficiencies is maybe too strong a word, but this process helps to improve or further improve the processes that exist today. It's great for the ISV and VAR because it reduces the labour requirement from all the interfaces that they don't need to now use. It's scalable. You can run multiple certifications at the same time. The ISV is in control. Payment brand acceptance. Now, this is one of the biggest overheads is having to have the payment brand schedule time with the payment brand to gain the terminal acceptance. So that overhead is removed. Another important point, the rigor that you've gone through to get the ISV and VAR host certification process, this is now further leveraged. Not only that, because we're, and you'll see in a minute when I show you the slide, we're actually stopping at the endpoint of the acquirer. So we're not having to send the message through the acquirer and then on to the brand simulators. That part isn't required. So we're actually leveraging something. That path has already been tested. So why are we still using it for the integration path? Okay, so the two diagram picture again. So the top diagram doesn't change. You still have to go through the message certification with the acquirer. The same process, testing that the fields are correctly added and populated. What's new is the bottom part, which we are calling a closed loop EMV terminal certification. So what you'll see is you've still got on the left hand side, you've got a card simulator, card reader with software that's going through a POS terminal. Potentially then it's going into a gateway or into some kind of middleware. And then what it's doing next, it's not going through Quire and onto the brand simulators, it's going to our host simulator. So this host simulator is supporting both the acquirer message format, and it's been qualified by all the payment brands, but it's testing, it's suitable for testing all the different brands. From a certification perspective, we then go through an analysis of the results. The test results are submitted to the acquirer, and that can be an iterative process, a validation process, until everything is working, and then the results are submitted for certification. So what I think one of the big benefits of this process is, and to a large extent this already exists today with the automation in the tools, it will limit the number of recertifications that a VAR or a merchant will have to go through, because they have already certified in their own environment that the testing is working. So they know when they're submitting the results, if everything is green and working, then they've got a pretty good idea that it's going to be a successful first-time certification. Okay, so what are the benefits of this closed-loop testing environment? So the merchant, ISV, VAR, this is unattended testing. The acquirer or the brands, they don't need to be involved. The merchant, ISV, VAR, they perform all the brand testing. Now, this can be contact and contactless. I think, again, earlier Joe was saying you need to do a separate certification for contact and contactless. So if you're using this kind of system which supports contact and contactless, you can run both of those certifications at the same time. You can submit the results at the same time. So again, it's another efficiency. All the acquirer EMV acquiring host functionality is built into the toolkit representing the interface. The brand test requirements are also all built into the tool to ensure transaction establishment. The toolkit is supplied, we're saying here through a distributed model, but there's a number of different models that are employed to supply the toolkit. And again, we're saying the current host certification process is with the acquirer is leveraged. Importantly, the last 2 points, so all these improvements that we're saying are listing here, they're actually available and in use today. So that this process is available and in use today. So those merchants, ISVs, VARs, and there are a lot of them, who are engaging to use this process are already benefiting from huge efficiency savings. Okay, I think this is my last or second last slide, the TITF, Terminal Integration Task Force, the EMV Co. So this is something that's in progress. They're looking at the different processes, and as I've tried to explain, with the different brands, there are different processes. So they're looking at all these four different processes and seeing where there's a possibility to actually consolidate and improve them further. What I think is important to point out here is what we're really trying to do is look at they're looking to streamline and simplify the processes. Now, that doesn't mean to say they're going to reduce the number of tests. It might be the number of tests are increased. That's not the point. The whole point of it is to look at the processes that exist and streamline and simplify them. What that means is potentially looking at things like commonizing or standardizing on the way that test lists are generated, standardizing on terminology that's used. They all use different terminology for what's a pass and a fail. Standardizing on log formats, standardizing on reporting. So this is areas that, or these are areas that the EMV Co task force are looking at to see where they can introduce further efficiencies in the system. That's my last slide. I do have an appendix, as I said, so I'm not going to run through those because I think I've got.
Yes, we're right at
the. Yeah, I know, sorry. We've got a few minutes, I guess, for...
Yes.